ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. As we are in the month of February, there is a famous and well-known celebration or festival that takes place called Valentine's Day. I think it's important to shed a little bit of light upon its reality and origin, as unfortunately many of us Muslims do participate in this festival. So every year, February the 14th, Valentine's Day comes along. Its origin, its history, is very confusing about exactly where it comes from. So there's too many opinions, too many variations of where it originated from. But we will mention the most famous three. The first, according to the Encyclopedia of Britannica, it is after the Roman pagan festival called Lupercalia. And it was to celebrate their god, their male god, Lupercalia. And it was in honor of his goddess. And his goddess's name was Juno Februata. Now, what would happen to commemorate his wife? The people of the locality, what they would do on this festival, they would get the names of all the females in that locality. They would put it in an urn, a cup. And the men of that locality would come and they would pick the name of one of those girls and they would get to spend the whole festival with that random and strange girl. What this did was it created a community of obscene behavior, immodest behavior, immoral behavior, of a sexual nature. And it was open bihayai. So eventually when Christianity came into Rome, it tried to eradicate this. So the priests, they decided that instead of putting names of girls in this urn, we should change it with the names of saints, pious saints. And then when the man would pick out this name, he should try and copy and be like that saint for the rest of the year. In principle, it's a good combatant, it's a good substitute for what was happening previously. But unfortunately, that did not last. And eventually, the name of the girls returned. And this obscene behavior continued. This is the first version of its origin. The second version is that it's after the virtually naked god of love, Cupid. You may have seen him on some adverts or in TV. He's a little baby. He doesn't have any clothes on. And he has wings and he fires his bow and arrow. Sometimes he's wearing a nappy or sometimes he has his legs crossed. So you can't see. And his job is to fire arrows at people and make them fall in love with one another. And his mother is the goddess of love, Venus. And her favorite flower was rose. So this is where all the paraphernalia of roses comes from at Valentine's Day. And the third opinion is that it's named after Saint Valentine. So Saint Valentine, he was a pious person during the time of Emperor Claudius. Now Emperor Claudius, he banned his soldiers from getting married. So he banned them from getting married simply because he did not want them to be cowardly on the battlefield. When a person has a family and has children, they will think about giving their life on the battlefield twice. So to make them brave and fearless, he banned them from getting married, so they had nothing to lose. But St. Valentine's, what he was doing was secretly getting the soldiers married, because he knew that they needed to get married. So he was secretly getting them married. And then when the emperor found out, he couldn't kill him because he had a bit of respect for him because he was a saint. So he jailed him for life. While he was in jail, he fell in love with the young girl that would bring him food every day. He became infatuated with her. And he would write her love letters. And at the end, he would sign it off, "Your Valentine's." When he passed away, people found these letters. And they found it like a good love story. It was romantic that he would write these love letters. Now, the Pope of the time, he decided, you know what, people, they're starting to sign their letters off, "Your Valentine's," to show their affection to their loved one. And it was at least better than the pagan festival, Lupercalia. So what he did was he changed the day. Lupercalia was actually celebrated on February 15th, not 14th. But then what he did was he changed the day one day before, February 14th, and he changed the day to St. Valentine's, and he pushed everybody that you should show your affection on this day to your loved one. And this is how it's reached us today. My beloved brothers, these origins are so confusing. We cannot pinpoint where exactly it came from. But one thing is not confusing. One thing is there's no doubting. If you open up the Quran, you will find no mention of Valentine's Day. If you open up the Ahadith, you will find no mention of Valentine's Day. If you look at the life of the prophets, or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'een, or the pious predecessors, the Salaf, you will find nothing related to February and showing love to one another just in February. So one thing is for certain, that it's got nothing to do with Islam. But the concept of love is something strongly encouraged in Islam. If you open up the Quran, you will find that the Quran tells us to love deeply and constantly. And that Allah loves us and we should love Him. In various places, Allah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsineen," and so many. Allah loves us. So the concept of love is not strange in Islam. It's not a strange concept. We are encouraged to love daily, constantly, and deeply, and sincerely. If you open up the Ahadith, you will find many mentions of love. The Prophet ﷺ taught us du'as to ask Allah, to make before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah for His love. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. O Allah, we ask You for Your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. We ask You to instill the love of that person in our heart who loves You. Because they are the pious people. We want to love them as well. Wa hubba amal alladhi yuballighuna ila hubbik. And we ask You to instill the love of those actions in our heart which will take us closer to Your love. So the Prophet is teaching us that you have to ask Allah for His love. It's not something that's naturally granted to you. You have to go out and acquire it. Illa mashallah, there are exceptions, like Umar radiallahu anhu. He hated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to go out and kill him, but then Allah attracted his heart towards him. He did jazb. It was like a magnet, and Allah pulled his heart towards him. These are rare occasions. These can happen through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the majority case is, me and you, we have to tread the path of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the concept of love is not strange. And especially showing love on one certain isolated day, that is a strange concept to Islam. Because Islam encourages us to love daily. When we make dua for our parents, we say, "Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira." O Allah, have mercy upon both my mother and father, just how they had mercy upon me when I was small. If Allah showed mercy upon them for one day of the year, would you be satisfied? You wouldn't be. You want it to be constant. You want it to be daily, and you want it to be deep. When you make dua for your spouse, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That, O Allah, make my spouse and my children the coolness of my eyes. If Allah made them the coolness of your eyes for one day, one isolated day, would you be satisfied? You wouldn't be. You want it to be daily and you want it to be constant. When you make the dua for your children, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء. If you make this dua, that, O Allah, make me and my progeny people who establish salah. If you looked at your children and they only pray salah on one isolated day, would you be satisfied? You wouldn't be. You want it to be daily and constant. So this concept of having it just for one isolated day is strange to Islam, because Islam encourages it to be constant. Now, a couple of things. Should you say Happy Valentine's to somebody, Happy Valentine Day to somebody, you should refrain from saying that. If you go shopping and you see some chocolates or some teddy bears that say specifically Valentine's on it, refrain from buying them. But if it's just a red love heart, or it's a teddy bear that's got a love heart on it, buy it after the 14th with the intention of not buying it for Valentine. Because it will be a high value at the beginning. After Valentine Day, everything goes like pennies. If you're into a bargain, get it, no problem. But don't buy it with the intention of Valentine. And specifically, don't buy it if it has Valentine written on it. And my beloved brothers, as parents here, our children go through certain things in school where they will get teased for not getting Valentine's cards or getting roses from boys, especially our daughters. They will get teased. You didn't get a Valentine's card from anybody? You didn't get a rose from anybody? You didn't get chocolates from anybody? You didn't have a Valentine's? They get peer pressured. So then they will beautify themselves and put themselves out there, even though they don't want to, just because they don't want to get teased by other people. It's up to us as parents to combat that, to build strong morals in themselves, to push them, to say that you don't need this, you don't need to push yourself like that, because you are a modest person, and you will get married to one individual, and you will love him deeply for the rest of your life. These are the type of morals that we must instill within our children. My beloved brothers, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, grant us the love of those actions which will make us love you. What better action is there than praying Quran, the Kalamullah, which will instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deeply within our hearts? And what better act or posture of position of worship to read Quran in than salah? And my beloved brothers, as we are in Rajab, it's a famous opinion that Isra and Mi'raj took place in the month of Rajab, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to Masjid al-Aqsa, Isra, and then he led all the prophets in prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa, and then he was taken on Mi'raj, ascension to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he was gifted first of all 50 prayers, and then 5 by 5 Musa alayhi salam is telling him, reduce it, your ummah is weak. And then he gets to 5, and then he feels ashamed to ask Allah again that I cannot go and ask Allah to reduce it, because I've realized he's reducing it 5 by 5. My beloved brothers, in this very blessed month, salah was gifted to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What better way to try and instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within our hearts than to try and perfect and be constant with our prayer? You know, all of these things about Valentine's, it pushes zina. It makes it open. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even go close to it. Why? Because it's fahisha. It's إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ. It is a disgusting thing. It's so disgusting and it's so evil. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And it's such an evil path to tread down. If you're on that path, you want to get off it quickly. And salah, what does it do? تَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَى. If you perfect your prayer, it saves you from these disgusting and immoral acts. This is why, my beloved brothers, with Ramadan up and coming, we must begin putting in place our 5 daily prayers. If we are short with, we're doing 4, we're doing 3, we're doing 2, we're doing 1, or if we're not even doing any, at least we should start building upon our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the barakah of this month. Grant us all the ability. I didn't even make a dua and you all said ameen, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us punctuality upon our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khushu' and khudu' within our salah. Now a big question is, how do I increase in khushu' and khudu'? Many, many different things. Focus on the words, focus on the meaning, all of these things. But my beloved brothers, the biggest way that you can develop khushu' and khudu' within salah is if you can develop khushu' and khudu' outside of salah. If you can constantly be mindful that Allah is watching every single one of your actions, and you're constantly thinking about Allah outside of salah, when you enter into your salah, it won't be any different for you. You will increase in your khushu' and khudu'. You will not have to press a button where you stand and you're like trying to increase your khushu' and khudu' standing there in the saf, because you're already ready for it beforehand. Outside of salah, perfect your life, so that your prayer becomes perfected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah give us all the ability also to increase in our recital of the Qur'an before the holy month of Ramadan approaches us. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. Thank you.
رحمتك يا الله.